So, what are the pyres that are in our personal and our societal culture? Have you ever been on one? Last summer, my cousin Tom and I went to France, and one of our destinations was to Verdun, the horrific battle site of World War I. Has anybody been there? Yeah, right. The photo on the leaflet is the main commemorative building. And if you look closely, those are the names of the dead. And on the side, there is a chapel with an altar, the altar of those who have been given. 700,000 casualties. 300,000 dead on a very small piece of property. May I say that again? 300,000 dead. Throughout our history, humans have, we place our children on the pyres of death. And my question is there no other way? What does God's angel ask of us personally as in a culture? And how can this culture that humans created be one of sustaining life rather than one of bloodletting? What do we need to let go of? What ideology, what possession, so that the angel of life can transform us? Thus, the story of Abraham and Isaac. God's request is that Abraham offer his firstborn son as a whole burnt offering. Well, could we accuse God of child abuse? Is this a sadistic God who enjoys our suffering? And some of you, no doubt, have been raised in a religious tradition that have this demanding God. The more we suffer, right, we were told, the more God loves us. There are scholars who have tried to make sense of this story, and some say that with Midrash or with retelling the story, we need to recreate the tale and transform the text. Some believe that Isaac came out as a liberated human being. Some believe he died. But regardless of what you or we hear today, what was it meant within its own time frame? At one time in religious history, believers, including our Hebrew forebears, not only practiced human sacrifice, but did it thinking that this is what God desired. Can you believe that? From our own tradition, that was once the part of the human context. This was to be the ultimate gift that could not be overlooked by the deities. Yet, child sacrifice came to be seen as an abomination among the Israelites and was written into the law, this cannot be. In fact, the beginning of the story, and I think this is interesting, the beginning of the story, the Hebrew word Elohim is used, which means plural, all the gods. And by the end of the story, the word in the text is Yahweh, our God, the God of Israel. There's a transition in the reading of this story that sees that it is a God's changing, and it becomes a polemic against human sacrifice. It was moving from an older belief that deities require human sacrifice to a new notion, the concept of God, one people, one people. That's a transformation. Yet whatever the original author meant, it is certain that Abraham was to offer that which was most precious to him. Not only his son, his beloved son, the embodiment of God's promise that he would be the father of the nations and that his descendants would be like the multitude of the stars. Abraham, what was he to give? His past, his present, his future. What a radical call of letting go. Surely, Abraham is suffering in this story. Whether we like it or not, this story requires something from us. It requires us to enter the darkness before the angel of transformation appears. And what about Isaac? Often the attention goes to Abraham, but Isaac, can you imagine what it would be like to have the parent, the creator, also be the destroyer? All in the name of the holy, does Isaac pray? And if so, to whom? There's no certainty that this image of God will protect him. And the cultural assumption is that the human father will be the provider, the lover of the child, the father who holds up the son in pride. He is to be the heir, not only in material goods, but in bone and sinew. How is one to sacrifice that which was created through one's own body, through one's act of love? There are many ways of being placed on the flames. But you know, in the story, I don't know what line hits you, but the one is where Isaac says, "Father," and Abraham responds with this, "My son." Oh, you know that line, it's just, oh yeah, I don't know what to do with it, but it goes through my bones. So what are the flames that are beside this story? The flames, the misunderstanding of conceit, of disdain, of the other. Death can come in so many ways. The death of love, of recognition, of understanding, and the death of tenderness. A personal story. My father was a very good man. I want to emphasize that. He was a man who tried always to do what was right. He was stoic and he was precise. When my first husband died of a blood clot, and it was on our honeymoon, my father moved, came across country from Ohio to New York where I was living. That was an act of love, okay. And when he opened the door, I ran to him and I said, "Dad," and I was crying. And my father said, "Don't cry. There are many in this world that are in more pain than you." And of course, there's truth in that, yes? But at that moment, I felt my father put me on the pyre all by myself. And I was to go through this grief and this agony that I was in by myself. So how could these words come from my own father, whom I loved? But he was precise. You know, he was precise. My dad was trained during World War II to be the man who was the sniper who was to go into Japan. Can you imagine that if the army chose him, he was going to do it, no matter what? That's the kind of man he was. So some of us have been left on the pyre, and how do we make meaning out of our suffering? Well, a few months later in this story, my mother died, and I went from New York to Ohio. And I opened the door and my father fled to me and I hugged him and he came into my embrace and he cried. He cried. That's the second part of the story this morning, isn't it? The angel comes the second time. Love and compassion are the totality of God. The story of Abraham is about a man who sees honor and obedience and self-abasement as the highest goal. God, through an angel, what brings the gift of compassion into the story, and that's the changing part. The poem this morning, I picked it because I loved the line. I have to say, I don't remember holding my dad. I know he loved me, but I don't remember him holding my hand except after that embrace. And so it was tentative. Here's the line in the poem. I watch the wood and the fire and slip my hand into his. If my death will not separate us this day, then neither shall my life. It's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice to put the hands together. There is a mythic truth in this story. What do I need to let go of on my life journey? What is it of the most precious that I give back to the divine? And how do I reconcile that which cannot be reconciled? Some of you know I'm in the process of moving. And this week, I gave away 17 boxes of books. That for me is like, whoa. I'm not sure it's equal to my only son. But those books would have been, they were like, oh my Lord, you know, I can't hold on. Can't hold on. And the story of Abraham would say, hold on to love. Bless the journey. Let it go. Let the angel release us from possessions and anger and fear. Do not be consumed by the fire. Only when we do this are we released. The angel tells us to hold onto precious life. Never place that on the embers. The rest, all of the rest is superfluous. So what do we do with this story today? What does the notion of sacrifice mean for us Christians in the richest nation in the world, the Rome of our time? What does it mean to follow a command of God, one that requires total commitment? And what does it mean that God can change God's mind? Did you see in the story? God too changes. God is transformed. Perhaps God sees Isaac's terror and God's heart is moved. There is, if you read the story, God does not stay static. So what does the story not mean? Surely there are some of us in the room who have been abused in one form or another. Obey God, don't question, kill your firstborn, kill your inner self, or deny self at all cost. Offer ourselves on a pyre when a loved one dies, or we hear bad medical news, or when we're placed in an impossible situation. Deny who we are. Our own sexuality, our own truth, deny our own experience, our needs, our pleasure. Surely this has been the situation for a multitude of women or for people of color who have been forced to bow down to notions of assumed supremacy. This, folks, is not the good news. It has nothing to do with God, absolutely nothing. And of course, this is always in context. I read an advertisement this week, and it said, you can do whatever you want. And I looked at it and I said, I can? I can kill my child if I want? Isn't this a tender line of understanding? The Abraham and Isaac story is talking about letting go of the power of domination, the power of patriarchy. The Abraham story, I believe, challenges us not to give up the self, but rather to see ourself as not the center of the universe. It all doesn't revolve around us. Now, that self can be an individual, a nation, or even a church. When the self, as in the gospel story this morning that Kim was having the children play with, when the gospel says what is needed, it's only one thing, and that is extend the gift of water. And of course, we are made of water. We are water. But the other thing in the story is that water can put out the pyre, can't it? It can stop the desolation. Now here's the question for you. Think of an experience where you were called to suffer, as were both Abraham and Isaac, a place that nearly split you open, the death of a spouse or a child, or facing a major illness, or losing a common sense of nationhood. Would you go back to the self that existed before the suffering? Can we go back to a space of unawareness? Suffering does change us, folks. The angel's visit is one of transformation, and that changed not only Abraham, but the very image of God. I'm not saying that suffering is good. It is not. But it can transform. Abraham suffered. He listened to the angel, and he was transformed. He learned about a God who creates life, not destroys it. I believe that is in the heart of the story this morning. Abraham is transformed through his experience. And on a political level, as the Israelites moved from one belief system to another, it must have been a wrenching experience for that community, and so they wrote a story. God is transformed with them. Are we in that very space today? Somehow, in the deepest letting go, we discover we experiencing this inrushing of a new transforming, liberating power. Abraham was renewed by what? Faith. Isaac, once he knew death or the possibility of death, I hope he chooses life to the fullest. But most of all, the story is about transforming amazing grace. Listen to whom? The angels. Lift the weak and the powerless from the pyres of destruction. Squelch destructive flames. Lift ourselves to new visions. And most of all, extend our hand, either in just holding or extending the gift of water. Amen.